my biggest project to date is Fringe FM. And that's really trying to shift the way that people think about the future. Right now, we have too much of a, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of most once they think about it, we have way too much short-term incentive and short-term focus. We eat the ice cream because it makes us feel good. We date that guy even though we know we shouldn't. We do all of these things without really thinking about the longer-term consequences. Yet I think as a society, if we're able to think on a longer-term basis, we're able to do a better job of making sure that people have jobs or removing the need for jobs, having better sources of energy, reducing pollution, creating a better world, creating more sustainable food production, making people healthier and happier, reducing the mental health epidemic that we have throughout the Western world. And I don't think that people talk enough about a lot of these things.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors healthcare.
My next guest is an angel investor, a serial entrepreneur, a startup advisor, speaker, consultant, a futurist, a growth hacker, a podcast host hustler, and author focused on helping startups change the world. Matt Ward has a background in e-commerce and is the founder, CEO, and host of Fringe.fm, a podcast exploring the edges of human understanding, exponential technologies to create a more abundant, long-term focused future. Matt is also the founder and managing partner of The Syndicate, a podcast and angel group focused on early stage investing, which syndicate promising deals to a group of accredited investors. In addition to investing and his work with Fringe FM, Matt currently advises 6 startups on growth, business development and strategy, e-commerce and fundraising. We're in for an exciting show today. Hi, it's Anne Nelson. Welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. And today we've got a treat. I'd like to welcome to the show Matt Ward. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, thanks for having me today, Anne.
I love your voice. It's very deep.
I got a new mic. It's much better. It's a pain in the butt running podcasts and having all the issues with audio. So I finally upgraded the mic and it's a little bit nicer.
Oh, okay. So you're all about being bigger and better and making a bigger impact on life. So before we get into that, would you like to tell my audience a little bit about your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background, studied engineering and found out fast there was no way I was working for anyone. I got into entrepreneurship. I started some businesses, primarily in the e-commerce space, and learned pretty quickly you need to really differentiate yourself, otherwise you'll never stand out. I got into crowdfunding and built the top crowdfunding podcast when crowdfunding was still pretty early, only to realize if you're helping people raise money, they don't have anything to pay you with. So I had to build an actual business and sell stuff. I started a home and garden company, which I scaled from, we don't need to get into numbers, but it went pretty well pretty quickly and ended up building a business around that. From the success of that, I took that money and have been angel investing and working with startups. My background is really growth hacking, looking at ways we can build things bigger, better, faster. And I do that with startups and then also as an investor.
And why are you choosing to focus on startups? Is that to do with the potential to make a huge return?
Yes and no. I think almost universally governments are failing in terms of inability to achieve anything. I think corporations have similar problems. And the reason being is their time spans are just too short. If you have a traditional company, they have to focus on quarterly returns. You look at stock market, you look at like a Fortune 500, they've run surveys on the CEOs and they'll say off the record, 60% of them are willing to forego investing in future guaranteed growth if it means better numbers in the short term because that's how their bonuses are incentivized. And if we're dealing with people that can't think beyond tomorrow and are willing to throw anyone under the bus to make money, I think we're all kind of screwed. So with startups, they have a much longer time horizon. As long as they're able to get funding, they're able to think about things differently. They can shake things up a bit, so to speak, and try to disrupt the status quo. I think that startups and just innovative people have much better chances than the mass majority of the economy and world, et cetera, to be able to improve and solve some of these big problems that we have that society just kind of decides not to address.
Mm. I know at the moment the returns aren't looking that great for companies with the market has gone down a lot lately, and there's this thing with America having the trade war with China, and the market seems to be all over the place. And we've got companies here in Australia that are traditional, have paid very good dividends to their investors, but their share price has gone down to buggery. So you may be making getting paid a dividend, but you are losing your capital in the meantime.
You are, but when everything goes to shit, that's oftentimes the best time to buy. I don't think it's happened yet. I mean, you'll see it a lot of times with the people that control governments, the people that, especially in smaller world countries, the people that control companies. If you're able to crash everything, you take the stock price from 100 down to $1, then you can go and buy it all up and you own everything. So that's not where we are now. But I think there is oftentimes a lot of manipulation. But yeah, the U.S. trade war thing is just, it would be if you gave a child access to the economics and control of the government. That's kind of like what's happened is let's see what happens and play mean.
Now, back to where you were with your startup. So how do you assess which startups you're going to be involved in? If this is your thing, you must get approached by many hopefuls.
Everybody wants money, and I don't necessarily have a lot of money. I have an angel syndicate that I manage with about 80 other members at the syndicate.vc, and that's for accredited investors that want to invest in startups. But basically, how I kind of think about it is there's two main criteria that are incredibly important. The first is it has to be a massive opportunity that can make a lot of money, because otherwise you're kind of, it's charity work if you're not trying to make returns. And I know I am, and I know a lot of angel investors are. But the other criteria that I have that a lot of angel investors won't have is it has to be something that, I don't know if you swear on this program, but something that freaking matters. So I see so many people and they're reaching out and they have the next photo app or the next way to share cool clothing or, oh my gosh, here's an Instagram filter. And it's like, this is worthless shit. People should be solving serious problems. In the 60s, we had the big challenge, and it was really a pissing contest between the US and Russia in terms of who can get to the moon first. But incredible things came out of that, doing something hard, doing something that mattered. And I feel like people were excited about that. And today they're excited about getting the new iPhone. They're excited about things that don't matter. And I think that that's something that we need to do a better job of as society, solving big problems versus addressing meaningless but potentially lucrative made-up problems.
How long have you been doing this?
Well, in terms of entrepreneurship, probably 6 or 7 years. Angel investing, not that long, 1.5 years. Working with companies, I've done a ton of consulting and advising with startups. So that would be almost the entire time I've been running my own businesses. So 5, 6 years. And I think we're entering an era now where things are just exponentially accelerating. If you look at the technology trends that are happening, one builds on the next, builds on the next. We have AI, we have stronger computers, we have connectedness with information, we have biotech and the ability to engineer humans, engineer better food, engineer animals. We're going into space, things are being miniaturized, cell phones are making things cheaper in terms of now we have mass-produced parts. I feel like if you look at the last 13 years ago, you didn't have a smartphone. The entire world was different. And this is something that people never think about. They never look back at a specific moment in time and go, holy crap, a lot of stuff happened. Yeah. Well, the difference is in the next 13 years will be even exponentially larger than the last 13 years. So just trying to think outside that box, it almost feels like an event horizon where people can't overcome those changes. They can't even conceive what's coming. And that's kind of the reason for my podcast, Fringe FM. And what it is, it's like a long-form TED. I get the world's smartest folks in AI, space tech, robotics, automation, human longevity, quantum computing, because the only vision that most of us have of the future is what we've seen on TV. It's Hollywood. It's a dystopia because that's what sells. So it's no wonder that people are worried about the future. They're worried about jobs. They're worried about having a minority report type situation where they don't really have freedoms in the world because all they've seen is dystopia. And I'm firmly of the belief that we create the future that we envision. If you think you're a loser, your life's probably going to suck. If you think you're lucky, you're more likely to find money. If you think the future is going to be terrible, the future that you create will probably be terrible. So what we do is try to put forth the real innovation, change, and awesomeness that the future is bringing. All the stats are getting better around the world in terms of every major crime stat, poverty, hunger, etc. Everything's getting better, but we get told by the media that everything's getting worse because that's their advertising model, is get the eyeballs. So we try to provide a counter and show really how awesome the future can be and get people involved and engaged in some of these exponential fields, which will have so much more of an impact than being like a madman money marketing guy.
Yeah. Well, someone's got to envisage a problem and for someone to come up with a solution. That's how things have worked in the past. Someone, yes, through their own ingenuity have come up with a solution for someone's problem. Have you been working in the field of startups long enough to have some success stories?
Yes, in terms of working with companies. No, in terms of startups. So there's a term in angel investing, and it's, you could call it like a trial of disillusionment. So basically what happens is you invest in companies. A year later, some of them have failed. 2 years later, a larger number have failed. 3 years later, probably an even larger number. But you have a small amount that are left and still in the running, so to speak. And if you can get beyond that, that's kind of when you see the success. That's why angel investing is not for a lot of people, because A, you need to qualify as an accredited investor, or you could use an equity crowdfunding platform like Republic, like Seed Invest, etc. But it also just takes a really long time in terms of returns. But just working with startups, I've been pretty successful with my own companies and then advising a handful of companies now, a few that have gone through 500 startups and some other startup accelerators, just helping them with growth and marketing, because that's kind of my forte. I like to get people to think, okay, this is going really well. What would we need to think about different so that we could go a 10x, 100x? Because what got you here won't get you there. But if you think about things slightly differently, oftentimes you can change the paradigm enough that, well, we did advertising and marketing to get up to this point, but how would we need to grow? Well, if we could get our users to refer twice as many people, suddenly our viral marketing becomes unstoppable. It becomes Facebook-esque. But thinking about those little shifts in how you think about the business, how you grow the business, are oftentimes the difference between making it and being something that's mildly successful.
Right. So it's not for the faint-hearted. And you need to be in it for a longer term because you're not going to get any quick return. So the returns must be fairly substantial, the ones that work out.
Basically, you have to look for companies. Some people tell you 10x. I would say if it doesn't have the potential to be a 50x return, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. So what you'll see in angel investing, what you'll see in venture capital is it's that one bet in 10, that one bet in 100 that really drives the returns. If you invested in Uber, you could afford to have invested in 999 other companies.
It sounds exciting and enticing of the big returns, but you've got to be prepared for all the other ones. You were talking about Uber, weren't you?
Yeah, Uber, huge returns. But I think in general, for anyone that is thinking about angel investing, it has to be money that you're completely willing to throw away and set on fire. You have to assume this money is never coming back. And if it comes back, that's awesome. And if it comes back with friends, that's even more awesome. But I think in general, that's why you see most angel investors have been successful entrepreneurs in the past. And even if they fail, it's kind of like they're making a bet on the next group of entrepreneurs. They're also trying to kind of help out the next group. When you're an entrepreneur, it takes a lot for you to be successful. There's a lot of people that play a large role in that. And I think that's part of the reason why so many entrepreneurs like to get into angel investing, is they can be involved with companies, they can be helping out, and they can be paying back their dues, so to speak.
Well, it sounds like a win-win situation, I suppose. What type of industries does this work with angel investing? Have you found any one sector more prone to success than others?
I think if you look at the venture landscape as a whole, right now there's a lot of focus on SaaS, software as a service. So people that are creating software products that are, generally speaking, automating or replacing workers and being able to make companies more efficient. SaaS is really popular because it's recurring revenue. You can have money coming in consistently. You know how much money you're going to make, and you can scale up the business with relatively low costs. So even like if you were to look at a Facebook, Facebook might cost a lot of money to run, but it costs almost nothing relative to the amount of money they make. It's not like e-commerce where every product that you create, you have to create that product and then sell it. The margins are much, much lower. So I think SaaS is one that's been very popular. I think personally that it's not that great of a business model for investment just because it has been so hyped and has so much interest from investors. If you have one pair of shoes and 10 girls that want those shoes, the price of the shoes is going to become expensive. And it's very similar with venture capital. These numbers are, they're made up numbers, essentially. You have valuations of companies that you're investing at, and you want that valuation to go up and then ultimately have an exit, an acquisition, an IPO. But if the amount you invest in initially is a valuation of 2 million, 4 million versus investing at a 10 or 20 million, you have a vastly different ownership percentage, vastly different upsides. The industries that I'm most excited about are the ones that I think also have the potential to transform humanity and society. So biotech and the aging paradigm, so to speak. I think we're moving towards a world where we all live a lot longer and healthier lives. I'm interested in fintech and how we can try to take away the middleman, so to speak. We have banks and governments controlling money. If I wanted to send money to you, it's going to take forever. It's going to cost a bunch of money. I'm going to pay fees that the bank never tells me about. And by the way, my money is just a number and a balance sheet. So fintech is one that's really interesting, accelerating rapidly, especially as you see more and more people in the third world starting to skip the banking system entirely. E-commerce is one that traditionally you'd think I'd be very interested in, given my background, but I think there's way too much competition right now for the vast majority of e-commerce. If you're doing anything that's a CPG, a consumer packaged good, if you're doing anything that the brand doesn't really matter, for instance, I don't care what type of couch I have, I don't care what type of toilet paper I have, or table, or chair, or whatever. None of these things matter. Let's go IKEA for all of it. Let's go whatever the cheap brand is for all of it, as long as the quality is good. I think those are industries where a lot of people have put in a lot of money, and where that money will not be coming back to them, because Amazon is eating the world with Amazon sellers and with Amazon Basics, where they kind of undercut everyone. What could be a bit more interesting is the experiential commerce. So the AR and VR augmentations for buying stuff. You've probably seen the AR kit type things where you can look through your phone and see how that couch will look in your apartment. I think that's the first manifestation of this. I think that AR and VR will become very interesting in the next 5 to 10 years as we start to have more experiences, more usability, and more functionality that we, frankly speaking, can't even consider or fathom today, short of reading sci-fi.
It's absolutely amazing, all the things that you've alluded to. The world is going to change, and it's going to change a lot quicker than people think.
It always is, and that's always how it happens. But I think this time is exceptionally so, because if you look at the progress of technology, man invented fire however many hundreds of thousands or millions of years ago. And we've kind of been moving along at a snail's pace, but that snail's pace is accelerating. I mean, you could kind of say like World War I, the automobile era. Since then, things have been rapidly accelerating. And then since the 90s, that acceleration has accelerated. And then since the smartphone era, that acceleration has become even more exponential. It's pretty ridiculous, the era we're living in. It's pretty awesome.
I'm going to show my age now. Back in the 1990s, our first mobile phone was one of those big ones. They were as big as a brick, and you carried them around in a hand, like its own handbag. And I wish I still had it, because there's just absolutely no comparison to those first mobile phones to now.
Yeah, it's crazy. And there's always pushback against technology as well. But we find that the technology that makes our lives better just seems to win out.
Yes, we're all talking about smart, not only smartphones, we're talking about smart homes now and all the gadgets out under the sun. Now, for something to finish up on, something different, I was interested to hear more about what else that you're interested in. And part of what else you're interested in is your personal optimization and your diet.
Yeah, I think we're living in an era where we're finally starting to understand the human body better. So in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, these were really the computing paradigm era where everything was becoming digital. We were becoming smarter and more augmented with computers, laptops, iPhones, headphones, etc. I think the next 10 to 20 years are going to be defined by the health paradigm shift. So right now we kind of have two Americas. We have two futures of humanity. We have the rich and sophisticated who are becoming more successful. They're living longer. They're becoming healthier. And then we have the poorer classes who aren't able to afford quality health care. They aren't able to afford quality food. They probably don't have the time for exercise, etc. And they're actually living shorter. They're living less quality lives. I think with the science, what we're really starting to understand is just some of the negative implications. Sugar was sold to us as a wonder drug, and it turns out it is a drug, but it's definitely not wonderful. And as we learn more and more, we're finding out that lower carb diets, fasting, I know I personally do intermittent fasting, which means eating 8 hours out of the day, and that's for a whole host of health benefits, longevity benefits, etc. So I'm someone who likes to focus on improving myself so that I can A, be happier, B, live longer, and C, be more productive. Like, just think about it from an economics perspective. If you could make yourself 5% more efficient, 5% better, what would that mean for you on a business sense? And the results would just be outstanding because it would be compounding interest, essentially. Every day, your results would be 5% more than they could have been. Over time, you accomplish a lifetime more of progress. So I like to think about what are some of the hacks on a body, on a mind, on a nutrition type aspect so that I can be and function at my best. Right now, I'm doing a ketogenic diet, not to lose weight, but just because of the health benefits. Your brain and body function much better on ketones than they do on glucose. So you can be sharper. You have 28% more energy going to your brain. You can function better and you can put out more content, do more interviews, and think about things in a clearer way. And I think not enough people think about themselves and their health. They kind of accept what has been sold to them by, generally speaking, the FDA or some equivalent, which they're sold to by big ag tech, which sells you corn and sugar and bread and dairy and all of the big marketing pushes. I think generally speaking, if people really start to look into health and do some experimentation, they find that they almost always feel better if they get off of a standard Western diet. And that when they feel better, they start to be happier. They start to be better with the people around them. They start to be better bosses, more successful in business, more successful in life. They lose weight, they live longer, and a lot of good things seem to happen. So I don't like to talk too much about the health diet stuff because I think people can be almost religious about it in terms of trying to convince other people. But I think generally speaking, a lot of humanity lives without really considering what they're doing and just thinking of their life as something that they don't have as much control as they actually do.
Well, thanks very much for sharing that. That was really interesting, the figures that you just quoted about having more energy for the brain and living longer and being more productive. And that's something that we can all take note of.
It's crazy because it sounds like pseudoscience until you really start to dig into it. And they're finding more and more that most of the causes of chronic disease are due to inflammation, mitochondrial dysfunction, and gut health. So Alzheimer's, dementia, autism, a lot of these are being linked to problems in the gut or problems with inflammation chronically throughout the body. There's dozens more diseases on there. But think about people that you know. How many people do you know that have died of old age in the past year? The number is pretty small. How many people do you know that have died of some type of chronic disease? The number is probably much larger. And the reason is we're living longer and we're getting more of these chronic diseases because we don't understand, traditionally haven't understood what the primary causes of cancer are. And now we're starting to understand these things much more on a fundamental level. And it seems that a lot of those health axioms that people tell you are actually things that can cure disease better than a pill.
Yes, we go turn up at the doctors and expect them to have a pill for everything, but sometimes there just isn't. And yes, I believe we can all learn a lot from making better choices, I suppose, including myself. And you've been very inspiring listening to what you're doing to improve your life so you can be more productive in this world. It's been really interesting talking to you today. Is there anything else that you'd like to share? What do you do for fun or to give back to society?
I would say in terms of what I do for fun, I've always liked reading. It's a great way to get outside of the world and enter into a completely new world, a completely new paradigm. I like travel. I've traveled quite a bit. I did the digital nomad thing of running a business while living throughout Southeast Asia, South America, because it was way cheaper and it was awesome and why not? In terms of things I would want to leave people with, my biggest project to date is Fringe FM. And that's really trying to shift the way that people think about the future. Right now, we have too much of a, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of most once they think about it, we have way too much short-term incentive and short-term focus. We eat the ice cream because it makes us feel good. We date that guy even though we know we shouldn't. We do all of these things without really thinking about the longer-term consequences. Yet I think as a society, if we're able to think on a longer-term basis, we're able to do a better job of making sure that people have jobs or removing the need for jobs, having better sources of energy, reducing pollution, creating a better world, creating more sustainable food production, making people healthier and happier, reducing the mental health epidemic that we have throughout the Western world. And I don't think that people talk enough about a lot of these things. These are the type of topics that I talk about on Fringe.fm. If you guys go to Fringe.fm or you just search in any major podcasting platform, Fringe FM, all one word, you can find us and subscribe there. It's a lot of fun. I get to talk with the world's smartest folks on all of the most interesting, exciting, and exponential fields. And yeah, it's a blast. I would say that that's something that I really enjoy doing. And it's kind of it's a passion project as much as anything else. At this point, it's not a business.
Right. Thank you. It's been fascinating. I've really enjoyed hearing about your angel investing and also about diet and then about your passion. And it's great to hear the passion in your voice. So thanks very much for sharing with us today on Retire Well, Retire Happy. If anyone wanted to know more about the angel investing, where would they go?
They can find that at thesyndicate.vc. That's the website. You can find me on Twitter at MattWardIO. And your podcast is called Retire Well, Retire Happy. And the thing I would want to leave people with is the concept of retirement can be dangerous. Never stop learning, because when you stop learning, you start dying. And once you continue learning and having a purpose, those are the people that are passionate and happy. So that would be my takeaway for people, is to always have a purpose. Never consider yourself retired, even if you are. Consider yourself someone who's focused on learning and improving the world, and you'll be much happier. You'll be much healthier. You'll live much longer because suddenly you have a mission, and your mission is awesome.
Thanks, Matt. It's been great having you.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks, Anne.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.